In the cabin, a stocky woman prepared breakfast for all of them. She never looked at them, never spoke, but set plates in front of them and kept them full. Brunn raged inwardly, but they could not take all the women on this planet.
I will come back. Somehow.
After breakfast, Brunn managed to stand up. She gave Hazel a hand. Outside, the man was opening the hangar door, and at last Brunn could see what was waiting for them. Her grin broadened. It was a little mixed-purpose shuttle, the same kind she'd been in when Cecilia had sent her back to Rockhouse. She could fly it herself if she had to. She thought briefly of knocking the man on the head and doing just that, but she had no idea how he planned to evade traffic control, if this place even had traffic control. It did have warplanes, though, and she had no desire to meet them. With considerable difficulty, Brunn helped Hazel up the narrow ladder into the shuttle. The man was already busy at the controls. He glowered when Brunn made her way forward and settled herself in the other control seat.
Don't touch anything.
Brunn watched. Everything looked much the same as on Corey's ship. Although the names of the measures were strange, she could identify most of the instruments. The man ran down the same sort of checklist. The trees at the far end approached too rapidly. Brunn could remember going much faster than this at Rotterdam. Suddenly, the shuttle rose into the air as if hoisted on a crane.
Short field ability. Surprised you, didn't I? She needs a third less runway, and she can clear 100 feet when she goes up.
Sun streamed in the cockpit windows. Brunn stared avidly at the control panel. Her mind had been so hungry all this time for something real, something to do. She glanced back at Hazel. The girl grinned, pointing to the gauges. Yes, a spacer girl. She would have had the same hunger. But now Hazel was looking out and down at the shadowy folds of hills and valleys receding as they rose. Was this perhaps her first planet? Brunn had never thought of that. Higher. There was a river, winding between hills, with a roll of ground fog like wool resting on the hill to windward. The craft climbed steeply, and the view widened every minute. Over there should be the city they came from, with its spaceport. Yes. Small. Smaller than she expected, though the spaceport had landing space enough for a dozen shuttles. Higher, higher. The morning sky that had been a soft, bright blue darkened again. The gauge that must be an altimeter had reeled off thousands and ten thousands, but Brunn didn't know what the unit of measure was. It neared 60,000 somethings and passed it. Then the pilot pulled the nose up even higher and pushed a button on the left side of the cockpit. Acceleration slammed her back in her seat. The sky darkened quickly to black. Stars appeared. The pilot pointed through the front window. Brunn peered back and forth, not seeing what he meant, until Hazel tapped her arm.
10 o'clock, negative 30. Their space station.
Then she could see it, as its shape passed over a sparkling expanse of white cloud on the bulging planet below. She had been there on the inside, unable to see. And now she was here, free. Or almost free. The man handed Brunn a headset. She put it on.
Changing from lift engines to end system. We're supposed to rendezvous with something out here. Don't know if it's military or civilian or what. They gave me code words to use.
The craft lurched as he switched from one drive to another. Then the artificial gravity kicked in, and she might as well have been sitting in a model shuttle on some planet's surface. She glanced back at Hazel, who was grinning from ear to ear. It felt right to her as well, then. She peered out at the stars, burning steadily, but she could not recognize any of the geometry.
What system is this?
Might as well take a nap now she's on auto.
He switched off the banks of instruments, useless with this drive, and hung his headset on a hook.
Well, I'm gonna.
He closed his eyes and slumped in his seat. Brunn slid her headset down around her neck, but did not follow his example. Too much was at stake.
Oh, I'm really tired. And my legs.
Brunn mimed sleep at her and watched as Hazel dozed off. The man's snores were of such complexity that she was sure he couldn't have faked them. Brunn put out her hand to the controls, and he didn't stir. So here she was, on her way. She touched her knives, reminding herself that she was not going to be recaptured if anything went wrong. And out there somewhere, Fleet waited. She was sure it would be Fleet. Her father would not have risked anything less in taking on a whole planet. She hoped it wasn't far out, and she hoped very much that whatever ships were there did not include one Lieutenant Esme Suiza. She was not ready to face that on top of everything else. An hour passed, and another, and another. Despite herself, she yawned. She would have taken a stimulant if she'd had one. Another yawn. Her eyes sagged shut, and she struggled to open them, only to yawn again. She looked at her shipmates. The man was still asleep. Hazel slept neatly as a cat, curled into herself on the bench seat. Brun tried pinching herself, changing positions, taking deep breaths. But in that steady, warm stillness, she slept in spite of herself.